Okay, we're holding on Erev and Daf Lamed Aleph for the very bottom of Lamed Amad Bet at Lekohen Bebet HaPras. A Kohen can put his Eruv in a Bet HaPras. Bet HaPras is an area that used to be, people used to be buried there, but then it was since plowed over, but may still have some remnants of bones here and there. So Kohen couldn't walk through a place with dead bodies, obviously, but he could put the Eruv in a Bet HaPras. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Menapech Adam, Bet HaPras, Veholech. Because what could you do? Like Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that you can just blow over the loose dirt and see if there are any bones sticking out, and if there aren't, then you can walk through. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami Mishmei the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Beta Pras Shenido Shtahor. Alternatively, you could say like this: that a Beta Pras that is properly plowed over or frequently trampled upon is just considered to be pure. So not tame. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beta Kvarot. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can even put it in a graveyard for the Kohen. Ntana Mibnei Shiachol Lachot Leilech Beshida Teva Migdal. Right, and the reason you could do that is because in theory, if you wanted to, you could create a partition around yourself, like by enclosing yourself in a large box or a closet or a carriage. And, you know, that sounds crazy, but today we're very familiar with that. I think that's what the Chazanim are doing today, to daven isolated from the rest of the minyan. They just surround themselves in a large box, and they walk through. And Kasavar, Ohel Zaruk Shmei Ohel, right? But that would be to suggest that a portable tent is still considered a tent for halachic purposes. Ubepluta Dahani Tanai, which is subject to the following Tanaic dispute. Detanya Nichnas La'aretz Ha'amim B'shida Tevo Migdal Rabbi Mitame Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Mitar. That if someone goes into Chutz La'aretz is a gzera of Tuma and Chutz La'aretz. All areas in Chutz La'aretz are considered Tame because we don't know where, because the non-Jews generally didn't habitually mark where they buried their bodies, and so everywhere is Suffolk Tame. But a Kohen could walk in. But if you went into Chutz La'aretz in a large box, so that's machloket. Rabbi says that you're tummy, and Rabbi Yosef says you're tov. But my kamiflugi mar savar oel zaruk lav shmei oel mar savar oel zaruk shmei oel. Now, what would their argument be as to whether or not you could walk through Chutz La'aretz in a large box? Well, the machloket would be whether a moving tent is considered a tent. V'hadatanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer ma'arvin lekohen tahor b'chiruma. Betruma tahor bekever, but that which we learned in a Braita, the Rehuda says you can create an eruv for a kohen in a Beit Hakfarot hechi azil b'shida tevu migdal. So clearly, we see the link between these two ideas, that if you hold that Oel Zaruk Shmei Oel, a movable tent, is still considered a tent, then how is it that Rabbi Yehuda allowed for the Truma in the Beit HaKvarot for the Kohen? Because you go in a box. V'ha Kevan De'achda Itmala. But 1 second, when the Truma is placed there, it becomes tame. Even if the Kohen walking through doesn't become tame, the Truma becomes tame, and then he can't eat it. Bishlo huchshara o shenilusha meperot. Right? So, we're talking about a case where there was no water, meaning that you need to, something doesn't just contract, food doesn't just contract Tuma by coming in contact with Tuma. It needs to be ra'ui lekabel Tuma, so it needs like water or some other means to draw in the Tuma. Alternatively, if it was a bread that was bread or mizonot that was kneaded with fruit juice as opposed to water, it actually doesn't become ra'ui lekabel tuma. Vehechi maiti la, and so how does the kohen bring the truma in? Bepute kli etz, the lo mekabel tuma. Right, well, he's got to bring it in through a flat wooden object, because the flat wooden object wouldn't be mekabel tuma. Alternatively, the kli itself would get mekabel tuma. Va'kamahil, but wait a second, isn't the if you're carrying it within a kli, then the kli is going to create an ohel over an airspace over the food within the graveyard, and that's going to make that's going to make the food tame. De'maiti la achore. Now, so you if it was kind of balanced on the very edge of it, such that there was no kli over the food, and therefore there was no airspace. Ihachi mai taima derabanan. Well, if that's the case, who would say this isn't allowed? I mean, you're clearly following, you're not becoming tameh in any way. So why would the rabbanon not allow this? Kasavri asur liknot bayit beisur hanah. Miklal the Yehuda savar mutter. No, sorry. Kasavar asur liknot bayit beisur hanah. Right. So they hold that you just can't make a kinyan anywhere. You can't make a possession over something that is prohibited behanah. Right, so the graveyard, the graves are asur behana. You can't get any benefit from them. And here you're creating your eruv, so you're making you're establishing your makom based on an isur hana, based on something you're not allowed to get any benefit from. So that's why they would hold that it's asur, not for tumah purposes, right? But miklal de Rabbi Yehuda savar mutar. Are you suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda? Are you suggesting that this is the point that they think that because they hold that it's asur to get hana, because it's asur to make a kinyan on something that's isur hana. That's why they say it's usher, but that would imply that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's mutter to make a kinyan on something that's usher b'ana. Kasavar mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, ela had amar rava mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu limekatnai amar l'shamate. Right? No. So he just says that mitzvot don't constitute hana, meaning you're making an eruv. Right? So because that's a mitzvah, so you're not, it's not considered that you're getting hana from this kinyan that you're making. So you'd be allowed to make an eruv there. Right? Now, if that were the case that we hold, you know, that that whether or not mitzvot lehanot nitnu is subject is why Rabbi Yehuda thinks this is mutter, because he says you're not getting hana from this graveyard, right? You're accomplishing a mitzvah through this graveyard, but that would imply that this statement of mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu is subject to a machloket, because apparently the rabbanon don't agree. Because if the rabbanon agreed that mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, then they would also allow for the eruv in the graveyard. Amar lecha Rava I svira luhu de ein ma'arvin el davar mitzvah de chule alma mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. If the Rabbanan would have held that the only reason you were allowed to make an eruv was to accomplish a mitzvah on Shabbat, then everyone would be on the same page, because mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. Everyone agrees mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu, right? But the question is, can an eruv only be used for a mitzvah, or can it be used purely for hana purposes, right? Right? So what are they really arguing about here? Mar savar ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah, umar savar ma'arvin afilu dvar mitzvah. So everyone agrees that everyone agrees that you can't make a kinyan on something that's asur b'hana. And everyone agrees that mitzvot don't constitute getting hana from something. However, the machloket is, can you make an eruv for non-mitzvah purposes, just for hana purposes? According to Rav Yehuda, you're only allowed to make an eruv for mitzvah purposes, in which case you'd say mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, and you can put an eruv anywhere. But according to the Rabbanan, you're allowed to use an eruv even for non-mitzvah purposes, for hana purposes, and that's why they don't let you make an eruv in a place that's asur b'hana. Ela hada amar Rav Yosef ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah lemaketanai amra, right? Lemaketanai amra l'shamate. Well, if that were the case, that there's a machloket over whether or not you can make an eruv for non-mitzvah purposes, then when we taught it, we should have taught it as a machloket tanaim, right? That would imply that this idea that an eruv can only be used for a mitzvah is actually really a machloket tanaim, right? Amar lecha Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef didn't say it was a machloket tanaim when he taught it. Amar lecha Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef would say to you as follows: Dechule alma ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah, udechule alma mitzvot lav le'anot nitnu. Bahakamiflagi marsavar kevan dekanale eruv lo nichale dimintura umarsavar nichale dimintura de itzarech achele. Okay, so really, according to Rav Yosef, no, there is no machloket as to whether or not you're allowed to use this eruv for personal purposes or only for mitzvah purposes. Everyone agrees that you can only use it for mitzvah purposes. Okay, then what is their machloket? The machloket is whether when one acquires the area of the graveyard for the purpose of accomplishing the eruv. That's allowed, because that's a mitzvah and it's only for a mitzvah. But the question now is, are you benefiting from this graveyard for protecting that eruv so other people don't come along and take it? If you believe that you're benefiting from the protection it provides, then you can't do it because you're benefiting from it. But if you believe that you don't care, that once you got the Eruv, you don't really care about the food anymore, right, then you're not getting any benefit from it. Okay, new Mishnah. Ma'arvin b'demai u'b'maser rishon shenitla terumato u'maser sheni v'hekdish shenifdu aval lo b'tevel v'lo b'maser rishon shelo nitla terumato v'lo b'maser sheni v'hekdish shelo nifdu. This is very similar to a Mishnah that we saw towards the end of Masechet Shabbat. Basically, what we're saying is, what kind of food is fit to make an Eruv out of? So we're going to talk about all the foods that are questionable. And we have the same question when it came to clearing out a storehouse on Shabbat, what you were allowed to remove. Because also, you could only take things out that were fit. So we're talking about fit foods, and we had almost the exact same Mishnah there in Masechet Shabbat. And so now we're dealing with the questionable foods that may or may not be able to be used as an Eruv, right? So if you have Demai, right? Demai is suffik whether proper Truma was taken. Or if you have Maiser Rishon, right? So it's the first tithe that Truma was taken from the Maiser Rishon. That can also be used as an Eruv, Maiser Sheni Vehekdish Sheniftu. Alternatively, Maiser Sheni, which you just have to either eat in Yerushalayim or sell outside of Yerushalayim, bring the money and then buy food in Yerushalayim to eat. Or Hekdish, if you did the proper procedure of redeeming it from their kedusha status, then it can be used as an eruv. Ve'akonim bechala, and kohanim can make an eruv with chala. Now, what we call chala is like the lecha mishnah, but chala is really the removed part of the bread that goes to the kohanim. Aval lo betevel, but you can't make an eruv from untithed food. Ve'lo b'maser rishon shelo nitra tumato, and you can't use eruv from the first tithe, if the truma was not taken, v'lo maser sheni v'hekdish shelo niftu, right? And you can't take it from maser sheni or hekdish if they were not properly redeemed. Demai halo chazile, right? So okay, we said the demai, right? Suffolk whether it's been tithed or not. So why could you use that for that? Why can you use that for an eruv that's not fit to eat? You have to take tithes. Right? By the way, demai is also for a kohen to eat, which is interesting. You might think that demai is essentially a mixture of truma and non-truma, so you can't eat it because of the truma in it. But no, a kohen can't even eat demai. Right? Migo d'ibai mefkar lehu l'nichse v'havi ani v'chazule hashanami chazile. Right? No, because if he were to make all of his property hefker and become poor, then it would be fit for him, right? And because poor people are allowed to eat demai, so what we say, because it's a suffix, right? So what we say is that because it's theoretically possible that on Shabbat he can come to eat this, right? It's not intrinsically considered not fit for him. Right, that we learned in the Mishnah that you can feed soldiers or poor people demai. Amarav Huna Tana Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Machilin Et Ha'anim Demai Beit Hillel Omrim Machilin Et Ha'anim Demai, and that's subject to a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and we possibly Beit Hillel that you can give poor people demai. Okay, Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumato. So we have the first tithe that's given to the Levim, and the truma was taken from it, right? The 2% that's supposed to be given to the kohanim was taken from it. Pshita, well, that's obvious. That's just properly tithed food. Of course, we use it in the Erev. Lo tzricha shekdimu b'shibalim v'nitla memeno trumat maiser v'lo nitla memeno truma gedola. No, so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about when the tithe was taken for the Levim at the time that it was still, that the grains were still in the wheat, and the tithe was taken from there, and then the Trumat Maiser was taken from there. What's the Trumat Maiser? The Trumat Maiser is basically the Truma that Levim give from the food, from the 10% that they get. But what was never taken was Truma Gedola, right? The original 2% was never taken before it was given to the Levim. You're supposed to take 2% for the Kohanim and then 10% for the Levim. But that was never taken, right? However, but this happened. The first tithe was given not when it was ready to eat or ready to use, rather when it was still in the ears. And in that case, you'd be allowed to use that grain, even though it wasn't tithed properly, for an eruv. Ukid Rabbi Abau Amar Resh Lakish, Amar Rabbi Abau Amar Resh Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdim B'Shibalim, Patur Mitruma, because in accordance with the Shita that says that if you take the tithe while the grain is still in the ears, then and you didn't take the truma yet, it's Patur from truma. Why should Emar? Pater mi truma gedola. Shne emar v'harimote mimenu terumat Hashem meiser mina meiser. You have to take a truma from Hashem, which a meiser from a meiser. So you have to take a tithe from a tithe. Meiser mina meiser amarti lecha v'lo truma gedola v'terumat meiser mina meiser. What Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us is a tithe upon a tithe. But you never have to take both the original 2% and an additional tithe on the tithe, right? So the Levim are obligated to take 10% of their 10% and give it to the Kohanim, but they're never obligated to take 2% and then an additional 10%, right? Which is what you'd be expecting of them if they had to take Truma Gedola, even once the grain was given to them as Meiser. Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye, Ihachi afilo igdimo bekeri nami. Well, then why bekeri nami? Right? Why does it make a difference when they tithed it? They have a first pasuk that says that they never have to take Truma Gedola from their Meiser. But so why does it matter that you took why does it matter that the tithe was taken while it was still in the ears or not? Amar le Alecha Amar Kira Mikol Masoteichem Tarimu et Kol Trumat Hashem. Right, so there's another reboy that says from all of your Meiser you have to take Truma for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, and in which case it does sound like you have to take Truma from all types of Meiser regardless. Uma ra'ita. Right, so then how do you know that what we're talking about is where do you not have to take Truma? Where do you not have to take Truma Gedola if you're a Levi and there's no Truma Gedola taken? Oh, that's when it was taken from the ears while it was still in the grain, right? While it was still in the plant, right? And where do you not have to? Where do you have to? When it's already taken out of the plant and now stacked up in piles. So I understand there's a reboy, I understand there's a mute. I understand one thing says you have to take Truma, one thing says you don't have to take Truma. How did you know which one is which? Ha, idgan, vahalo, idgan, right? Because when it's still in the when it's just piles of grain piled up, it's already considered grain, right? In which case, that's where the truma needs to be taken. However, before it's considered a grain, that's when the truma does not have to be taken because the only grain is subject to this truma. Okay, so you properly redeemed maaser sheni and hektish, right? Pshita, wasn't that obvious? Then they just use it. That's just normal food. You can eat it. Lo tzricha shenatan tekeren v'lo natan techomesh. V'kamashvelan de'en achomesh me'akev. No, we're talking about a case where you gave the principal but not the additional. Basically, if you don't want to bring your food into Yerushalayim, and so you want to sell it and then redeem it, you don't just redeem the exact amount that you sold it for. You actually have to add a little bit. You have to add a fifth to it when you redeem it. So you have to add, let's say you're doing, you sold $100 worth of produce, and so now you have to buy $120 worth of produce in Yerushalayim, right? And what does it mean that you redeemed it? You redeemed $100 worth, but you didn't redeem $120 worth, so you didn't do the additional fifth, right? So still, what it's coming to tell us is that additional fifth is not ma'akev in order to, we still see this food now as normal food. We treat it like you properly redeemed it. Now you have a mitzvah to do the additional fifth, but it doesn't prevent you from using the food. Aval lo betevel, right? You can't do it from untithed fruits, produce. Pshita, obviously you can't do it from untithed produce. It's not fit to eat. Lo tricha betevel tavul midarabanan kigon jazaro ba'atzit shen rakuf. Now we're talking about when you only were ever obligated to take truma from on a derabanan level, like if you had a potted plant. If you have a potted plant, right, and there's no hole in the pot, then the on a deraita level, it's not in the ground, and you don't have to take truma. The rabbanan are obligated you to do so, but you may have thought that because it's only a rabbinic obligation that I can use this food because on a Torah level it's fit to eat, but no, you can't use the food. Okay, and you can't take it from maaser rishon. The truma was not taken from it. Pshita, obviously, if it didn't have proper truma, then you can't eat it. So what's even the question here? Lo tzricha sheikdimu bakri v'nitla mimeno terumat meiser. No, because we're talking about a case where you took trumat meiser, similar to the other case, right? Once the grain is already in piles, you took the tithe and the tenth of the tithe that the Levim have to give, but you didn't take the Truma Gedola yet. V'lo not nimenu Truma Gedola. Mahu d'teima. Now, why would I assume that's okay? You didn't take Truma Gedola, right? In which case, the food should not be fit. Mahu d'teima, because what may you have said? K'da'amar le Rav Papa le'abaye. You may have held like Rav Papa's Svarata Abaye that we said earlier on, right? That there is this pasuk that says that Kohanim, that Levim don't have to take Truma Gedola. I may have thought that. Kamash milan k'deshani le. Right? And so what I'm coming to indicate is that which we taught you earlier, that is based on the two different psukim. I know that there's one case that you do have to do it, one case where you don't have to do it, and the case that you don't have to do it is the case of it's still in the ears, and when it's and the case that you do have to do it is in the case where it's in piles. And so that's what we're just coming to teach you, so make sure you don't get confused and know that this is a case where you absolutely do have to take the truma Gedola, and if you fail to do so, it cannot be used as an Eruv. So you can't use Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh that were not properly redeemed. Pshita, obviously, it's not fit to eat. Why would you assume that you could do it? Lo tzricha, sheparan lo paran keilchtar, maaser sheparan agav simon, v'rachman ama, ritzarta kesef, a kesef sheyesh alav tzura. Like in a case where you were podeh, where you tried to redeem your Maaser Sheni food with unminted coins, and the Torah says that it needs to be a coin with a mint. Hekdesh, echilo agav right? Or if you try to redeem hektish with property as opposed to movable object, and the Torah says that you can only redeem hektish with money and not with property. Kenu Mishnah, Ashuleach Eruv, someone who sends his Eruv, sends the food with someone else. Biyad Chotavikatan, right? So he sends it with a deaf mute, a crazy person, or a minor. Or in the hands of someone who doesn't accept this law of Eruv. Eno Eruv. So it's not an Eruv, right? They have to be trustable to go set up your Eruv. But if you told a different person, hey, come receive my Eruv from this from these people, then it's a proper Eruv. But wait, a minor can't make the Eruv, but didn't Rav Huna say that a minor can make the Eruv? Can't make an Eruv Techumen because he can't acquire the area for you, but he can make an Eruv Chatzero because you're not acquiring that area, you're basically just using this food to be Meshatef, to conjoin different people and different properties together. That a Katan Zalatu. Obiad Mishaino Moda Be Eruv. We're going to stop here. Or one last part. Obiad Mishaino Moda Eruv in the hands of someone who does not accept the laws of Eruv. Man, who are these people who don't accept the laws of Eruv? Amar of Chizda Kutai. The Kafians, they rejected all the rabbinic traditions, and this is a rabbinic din, and they never accepted it, so you can't send your Eruv in their hands.